Roland opened 4 cans of peaches, smelled them, and nodded.
Okay, I think, he said. Sweet.
They were just finishing this repast when the air in front of the cave shimmered. A moment later, Ted Brodigan, Dinky Earnshaw, and Chimi Ruiz appeared. With them, cringing and very frightened, dressed in fading and tattered bibles, was the rod Roland had asked them to bring.
Come in and have something to eat,
Roland said amiably, as if a quartet of teleports showing up was a common occurrence.
There's plenty.
Maybe we'll skip breakfast, Dinky said. We don't have much to...
Before he could finish, Shimi's knees buckled, and he collapsed at the mouth of the cave, his eyes rolling up to whites and a thin froth of spit oozing out between his cracked lips. He began to shiver and buck, his legs kicking aimlessly, his rubber moccasins scratching lines in the talus. Chapter 10 The Last Palaver Shimi's Dream 1 Susanna supposed you couldn't classify what came next as pandemonium. Surely it took at least a dozen people to induce such a state, and they were but 7. 8 counting the rod, and you certainly had to count him because he was creating a large part of the uproar. When he saw Roland, he dropped to his knees, raised his hands over his head like a ref signaling a successful extra point kick, and began salaaming rapidly. Each downstroke was extreme enough to thump his forehead on the ground. He was at the same time babbling at the top of his lungs in his odd, vowely language. He never took his eyes off Roland while he performed these gymnastics. Susanna had little doubt the gunslinger was being saluted as some kind of god. Ted also dropped on his knees, but it was Shimi with whom he was concerned. The old man put his hands on the sides of Shimi's head to stop it whipping back and forth. Already, Roland's old acquaintance from his magus days had cut one cheek on a sharp bit of stone, a cut that was dangerously close to his left eye. And now blood began to pour from the corners of Shimi's mouth and run up his modestly stubbled cheeks.